Hey guys, welcome back to Tom Girl. We have another great episode here today. I have the Doctor of Divinity and host of Good Morning La La Land, Dr. Aaron Fall Haskell. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh yeah. We're going to get things kicked off here today. All right, guys, thanks for coming back to Tom Girl. I'm your host, JJ Juergens, and here's where we talk all things sports, entertainment, adventure, and fashion. And today we're going to talk to Dr. Aaron Fall Haskell. She does it all. She's the Doctor of Divinity. She's an author, spiritual coach, public speaker, a self-made millionaire, and the creator and host of Good Morning La La Land. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Aaron.
So fun. I feel like I'm like on the sports radio or something here. I don't know. I know nothing about sports. Let's just get that clear before we start.
That's fine. I won't be quizzing you on any okay, sports good. Facts. But you know a lot about a ton of other things. First, I just want to ask, okay, what does Doctor of Divinity mean?
Yeah, right. People are like, what the hell does that mean? It's impressive. That's all I know. A Doctor of Divinity is basically a doctor, and we consider ourselves a doctor because we heal through revealing the truth. Basically, I'm trained in universal law, how to reprogram the subconscious, and how your subconscious is connected to the entire universe. So just that little stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you also consider this kind of a ministry as well?
I am a minister. So what happens is you become a spiritual practitioner first, and then you become a minister, and then you become a doctor of divinity. So it's too long of a process. It's like, I'm tired. I need a nap. No, just kidding.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do a lot of things because you have a podcast about this and you do courses. Tell people a little bit about some of the things that you offer.
Sure. So my platform is, you know, like a lot of platforms online, everything from social media to a book to podcast. We have courses. We work with other groups. I work with Boss Babe. You know, you can find me, there's meditations you can get, there's courses, we do meetups with women, all kinds of things. So Basically, we do an array. I'm not doing traditional ministry, I'm doing kind of mainstreaming consciousness. And I think there's a choice as a doctor of divinity, you have to choose which side of the bridge you're going on. Are you taking very fundamental religious people and bringing them over to spirituality and kind of understanding that, or are you bringing kind of mainstream people that don't want anything to do with religion to just become aware consciously? So I've chosen the other, the latter.
The last one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And what kind of things or people do you encounter most, or, you know, what things are you putting them through?
Sure. You know, I think that there's a commonality is what I found, whether it be through being in rooms with hundreds of people going through transformational work or working one-on-one with people. We really all have the same issues, quite frankly. We all are dealing with, confusion. We're dealing with, how do we make money? We're dealing with, how do we have relationships that thrive? How do I get enough energy to sustain my life? You know, just very common things. And then you get further down the rabbit hole and you get, you know, sadness and loneliness and depression and dealing with trauma. And so the spectrum is the same in the human beings. It's just how, you know, extreme your trauma has been, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely can relate to all those. So what can you, what kind of things how do you teach people to get through those things, or what do you offer?
Yeah, it's a tricky thing because if time and money were of no object for a client, you would always say, do deep traumatic subconscious work. Not everybody can, you know, come to that work and write the check, if you will, to take on one-on-one counseling and do that intense work. So it's all about understanding it logically and doing the subconscious work. So subconscious work you can do through meditation, you can do through other modalities that we teach. But if you were to really get into the work, you want to find somebody that can work with you in your subconscious mind, because that's the real place where the trauma has been basically embed through deep, deep emotions into the subconscious mind, which, as we know, I mean, I'm sure you have people in your life where you're like, they're doing the same thing over and over again and they keep having the same outcome. That's when you know it's subconscious, because it's basically they have limiting beliefs in their subconscious that are just playing out like you have a puppet in the back of your life, you know, behind the scenes, and it's just kind of, you know, doing whatever. Yeah. Our subconscious is kind of like if you were a lieutenant in charge and you have little soldiers down there in your subconscious. The lieutenant in charge is that part of you that has commanded and directed the subconscious. And the subconscious just says, and so it is. So when you say, I'll never love again, in an intense moment, then all of a sudden every time you start to love, you're like, I don't know why, I just can't do this. It's just too hard, right? Mm-hmm. And you run. So that's the subconscious playing out.
And then do you work with people on the, like, physically as well, like people that have health issues and health barriers, or is it mainly more the spiritual?
I have. I've worked with addicts a lot. Mm-hmm. More years back, I used to work with addicts. I worked with some really huge celebrities and would take them through kind of cleansing process, because part of it is we have so many toxins in our environment. If you've tried drugs, if you've, you know, had a lot of alcohol, it impinges in the cells. And so a lot of time when you're having issues in your life, some of it is straight up biochemistry. Some of it's straight up stuff in your body. So you need to kind of rid that to know where is the biochemistry going on versus what's happening with you subconsciously. So it's important to do that work.
Mm-hmm. And on your site, I saw a bunch of your podcasts. And can you talk about some of the topics? Because I know one was about getting rid of those toxins and things.
Sure. So, you know, I do an 11-minute podcast every day. And it's different. Everyone's like, you got to do interviews. And I do so many interviews on Good Morning Lala. And I have some interviews as well on the podcast. But I was always going, well, what would I want? You know, when I was going through my awakening and trying to heal my own life, I needed to just get my mind right quickly in the day. Mm-hmm. And we used to have these phone calls as a spiritual center. And every day we'd get on the call, everyone. And we would just take 10 minutes and the leader would, you know, talk about truth and get our mind right and get us a little inspired, a little motivated. And that made a big difference in my life. And so I thought, I want to keep doing that for other people, because I think it's repetition and habits are what kind of make us mm-hmm. become the person that we want to be. It's very different to know the truth versus living the truth. Mm-hmm. And you got to do it over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've been very open about kind of talking about your awakening. Because I know, I think it's easy for people to like look at you and be like, oh, she's, you know, she's gorgeous, she's beautiful, she's got it all like so easy. But you haven't had such easy moments in
life.
Let
me just say, I was a disaster, okay? Like everything from, I was totally codependent. Like I was one of those women that could never be happy. Still can't be. No, just kidding. Like literally just a disaster. I was a victim. I'd be one of those girlfriends that would be sitting with my girlfriends at lunch and complaining about X, Y, and Z and how hard it is and pity party. You know, I tried drugs and alcohol. Luckily, I never got addicted or didn't like drugs and alcohol, but I did try it growing up in California. So I'm very open about kind of my human beingness, because I think it's important. As leaders, I think we try and be too perfect sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think the leaders need to get real and raw. And so, yeah, I call it coming out of the spiritual closet, because when you come out of the spiritual closet, there's a lot of parts of it that aren't, you know, you get afraid. I was afraid to talk about my awakening because kind of some crazy stuff went on in my meditations, you know, and I thought, am I going insane? But then you start researching and you start looking at other people's stories and you're like, oh, they're saying the same thing. And I think it's interesting because in elementary school, you know, we never learn any of these things. And I'm thinking, why are we learning geography when we haven't even learned about like how the power of our mind and what how we're thinking and how it affects our entire world. It seems crazy.
So when you made the transition to really pursue this, like we don't need to go deep into it, but I know you talked about that you had a stillborn baby, and that was one thing that led you to pursue and explore this more.
Yeah, I'm always like hesitant to tell a story because I feel like I tell it so much that I'm like, oh, they're gonna be bored with that story. But I'm sure your audience hasn't heard it. So.
Yeah, and I didn't know about it until I was researching today, and I was like,
I had struggled. I had, you know, I came from a divorced family. My parents were divorced. We lived in kind of a hippie commune. I grew up in California. I was date raped in high school, dealt with bulimia. And then kind of healing through that, I thought, oh, if I just get married, then all my problems will be solved. Kind of one of those things. So I got married at 21. I got pregnant and I was full term pregnant. I was in nursing school and my baby stopped moving in my belly. And you read in What to Expect when you're pregnant to go get it checked out. So I went in and sure enough, the baby had died inside of me. And so I had to go into full-term labor to give birth to my dead baby. And it was, you know, it was like really intense.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, they have you grieve by bathing your dead baby, taking pictures with your dead baby, and then going home without your dead baby. So the next day, you know, I was 22 years old, little girl. My parents weren't there. Like where they were, I have no idea. But I was a little cuckoo. I woke up and I thought, I didn't get the right pictures I wanted with my baby. Mm-hmm. So I went back to the mortician's house. And I had one of those, it was like a scene out of the movie. The mortician was like, oh, sweetheart, I'm so sorry. Your baby's been in formaldehyde for 24 hours. You know, you're not really going to want pictures, but you can take as much time if you want for grieving. So he set up this room. I went down to the basement, and it was literally like, it was a scene out of the movie. It was like literally red drapes and red lights, and there was this huge room with this hospital bed in the middle with just his little body on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you know, I dropped the bag. I thought, well, I'm not going to be taking pictures. And I just sat there and I thought, I didn't even believe in God. I'm like, how could God or how could life or how whatever could be so cruel? Mm-hmm. But then something happened. I just realized, I was like, he's here, but his body's not here. I mean, sorry, his body's here, but he's not here. We're not these bodies. Mm-hmm. And it was just one of those moments where I was like, I just committed. I fully committed to going, I just want to know what the hell we're doing here. And, you know, all this stuff, we're so blessed in LA, but none of it matters if you don't have that core, you know, connection mm-hmm. to your true self, your higher self. Mm-hmm.
So then in developing and growing and all the things that you do now, what have been those things that have, like, was it meditation or prayer or, you know, what things have helped you
sure,
in your life?
Sure. Subconscious work, number one thing. I would say that the meditation, for sure. Meditation has been the foundation for all work. But I do think that going into meditation, it might take you 20 years of what doing intense subconscious work can do within a couple years. People want instant gratification. You come in for subconscious work, and yes, you do get some instant gratification. The pitfalls is that people get so they have such big breakthroughs. They're like, oh, I'm fine, I'm great, I'm like high on life, like I don't need another session. It's like, cool, and then they come spiraling back in, you know, 3 months later, because it, you know, it took you many lifetimes to get to this entanglement, and so it takes some work to go mm-hmm. through your track.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure years go by, and then something else happens too. That, like, you may have dealt with that problem or figured out how to deal with that, but then now, how are you now with divorce or with,
yeah,
you know,
for sure,
with something else?
But also, I think that meditation is important. But I think that having logically understanding how you work, logically understanding universal laws, logically understanding the truth, if you will, because you can understand it at a core level. A lot of people, you see this in spirituality, they have these awakening moments, they go to Burning Man and they're all that, but then they're still kind of confused because they haven't figured out logically. The mind and the heart have to link up. You've got to have it one. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So now you have a book.
Talk about struggling. Talk about struggling. Anybody out there, I just say kudos to anybody that's written a book. It was probably one of the hardest things I ever did. I wasn't a writer, and so that was challenging of itself. I did work with editors, but there was just, it was really interesting writing a book. But I would say, if you have that burning desire, do it, because it's like a baby that you're birthing to the world. And there's been women all over the globe that have reached out and had great stories and just thanked me for it. And it's just so amazing, honestly.
What's your, like, favorite thing about this book?
You know, for me, I wrote the book. I didn't intend on writing a book. I wrote it over many years of going through my own distinctions and epiphanies, whatever, and then I was going through my doctrine. I wanted to remember all the distinctions that I was learning. And so my favorite thing about it is that it's really kind of an overview of everything. Like, if I wrote it for, like, the 22-year-old girl that was in that mortician's house. Mm-hmm. Like, if I were to give her a book to say, here's how life works, here you go. So that's my favorite part of it.
Mm-hmm. For you guys listening, it's called A 40-Day Guide to Unleashing Your Spiritual Powers, Life's Purpose, and Manifesting Your Dreams. What are some of what's your advice to people for manifesting their dreams?
Number one thing is to deal with trauma in the subconscious mind, because I think that we want to manifest. The book Awakening deals with all those layers. And so we often think that we want to manifest, and we all saw The Secret, generally. Not everyone is younger. The younger generations are like, what's The Secret? I'm like, oh, that's, I guess I'm actually aging myself. So we all want to manifest, you know, and we're manifesting 24/7. It's not like you have to manifest. You're manifesting with no effort whatsoever. But if you want to manifest what you truly desire, you've got to get down to what you truly desire. Because oftentimes we'll put up vision boards, we'll manifest stuff, and then we're like, okay, cool, but, like, I'm still not fulfilled. Like, I have money, and I have a great car, and I have a house and all this stuff, and I'm still, like, feel empty inside. Mm-hmm. So I would say, if people want to truly manifest, I say manifesting without awakening is like going into a trap. It's like going around in one of those, you know, mazes where there's a bunch of dead ends. Mm-hmm. So until you awaken, until you get into the core of what your true purpose and calling is, you know, manifesting is a trap.
Okay, that's great. I do want to talk about, because you are a self-made millionaire. I mean, you brought up money and wealth there. How did you do that?
Slowly and painfully. you know, it was interesting because it's amazing how many people don't know what an asset versus a liability is. Like, I mean, if you're watching, ask yourself, do you know what an asset or liability is? And if you don't, you may want to consider not following a bunch of influencers online and thinking that this is going to make you rich. Because until you understand that wealth is, it's very basic. Money is actually very basic. Money is a symbol of the consciousness. But for me, what happened was I started investing in real estate. I had no money. I would go to the thrift store to buy clothes for my son. I got pregnant a month to the day with my son, who now is 23. But I didn't have any money. I went to the thrift store for everything. And I literally built my way up from the total bottom up. And what happened was I read things like Rich Dad, Poor Dad that teaches you how to buy what an asset is versus a liability. And I saved every penny I could. I slowly started fixing up homes. You know, I'd make a $4,000 on flipping a home. Like, it was like ridiculous, the small amounts of money. But I never touched my principal. I always, always used whatever the investment was and put it into the next investment. I never, ever, ever touched my principal until it got to where it was enough and I could live off the residual income of it.
When you did the flipping, how did you find your crew of the guys or girls to do the interior fixes or exterior
fixes? I was as cheap as possible. So it was like, you know, it was... You can go find people at Home Depot. You can get on Craigslist. You can do whatever, you know. And times have changed a bit. I think in the real estate world, you got to do things a little bit more legit than you did back in the day. So I don't recommend doing it the way I did it. But I do think that buying assets are important because you can still have your hobbies. You can still have your passions. You can still have a career, but you can invest. And I think it's very important, especially for women today. Educate yourself. Get a group that invests. Educate yourself on investing because no one's going to do it for you. Mm-hmm. And if you invest in the stock market and whatever, make 4 to 8%, it's going to be a long haul to build your portfolio versus other types of businesses. You can build assets easier.
Any suggestions for how women can find those groups? Because I know even for me, like, I've tried to ask, you know, like my dad or people that are, I'm definitely more the creative brain and they're more, my dad and brother are more like business, you know, money people or number people. But even then it's like, it's hard for me to find good advice for financial investment. Right. And I admittedly don't know like anything about it or what I'm doing in that realm. Any advice for women?
Well, I think that we're all teachers and we're all students. I will forever have teachers and mentors, and I will forever be, you know, a teacher for people. But I think it's important it just depends on where you're at. If you don't have a lot of money, guess what? You can go online and watch free YouTube videos all day long on Rich Dad, Poor Dad or whatever. So education, of course, is very important around any of this. I think that groups are important if you're going to, depends on the field you're in, right? Find the person that you look up to that has had success. And most people, yes, they have some expensive courses or yes, they have expensive groups. They also have free stuff, every one of them. Mm-hmm. So go seek out their free stuff, get engaged. You can volunteer, you know, you can volunteer for people and say, I can't afford to be a part of your, you know, pay for the club. How can I volunteer to be a part of it? I don't know. Okay. There's always a way. Mm-hmm. There's always a way.
Okay. Great advice. So how did now, what did that feel like as you started to like build that, you know, kind of empire for yourself and have, you know, change your life?
Oh, gosh. Great question. It felt fucking awesome.
Can I say it?
It felt fucking awesome. I'm not even joking. Like, you know, I just think that anything that we set our minds to, hindsight's always 20/20, right? You know, if I had to go back and talk to that little girl that was trying to build money at, you know, early 20s, I was so stressed out. I was so like, it's never going to happen. But if you are every day, you're taking steps to move towards whatever, you may not end up in the exact place that you first thought. It may be something way better, but you will succeed. Like, it's impossible to not succeed if you really keep your mind on the prize and you take inspired action every day. It's impossible. But yeah, I remember in my 30s, I became financially independent. So all my investments actually paid for all my bills and then some. Mm-hmm. And then it grew even more. And I remember having quite a lot of passive income, a lot. And I was like, this is really cool. But we're meant to create. And I truly believe that the more we have, the more responsibility we have to give back. Mm-hmm. And so there was a plateau where I became a little unfulfilled, because when you just enjoy life, it's cool, but there's something in mm-hmm. me anyway that desires to give back, to do whatever. So I don't think I'm never going to be at the end destiny, mm-hmm. ever.
Is that where the idea from Good Morning La La Land came from? Let's segue into
that. Yeah, Good Morning La La Land. What happened was I was doing my ministry and my Doctor of Divinity, and I would go into meditation, of course, and pray and ask for the vision, which is not from the ego, but asking the higher self to deliver the vision. And it was like, it's a show. I mean, I wasn't in the entertainment industry. I had no desire, really. Mm-hmm. But I knew that California and LA was a place that impacts the entire world. I mean, we influence the entire world through media here. And it was just a calling. It was a calling. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how. I didn't know where. I didn't know when. And just mainstreaming consciousness. Because I remember growing up and watching shows like Oprah and watching shows like Regis and Kelly, mm-hmm. back before mm-hmm. it was Kelly. And there was little tiny things that I would learn a little bit for the day at some point in time. And I thought, if I could just trickle in truths instead of have it be a church where people can come and, you know, get preached to. Truths are truths. You don't have mm-hmm. to be religious to agree with truths. Like, it's common sense, a lot mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who haven't seen the show, we hope you all have. But so it's 5 days a week. You're live on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, right?
Roku, mm-hmm. Apple TV, all the above, live from 9 to 10 a.m. on Pacific Standard Time.
Mm-hmm. And what's different about your show is it's all about positivity.
It is. The first half of it, there's three hosts up front, Jeslyn and Rob and me, and everyone's so amazing. Jeslyn's such a hard worker. Big shout out to Jez and Rob.
We got you guys a shout out there.
Yeah. I honestly love them, and they've taught me so much through this process. But yeah, the first segment of the show, we kind of check in, have a, you know, kind of talking about whatever's going on. We have a wisdom of the day. So we talk about like Motivation Monday or Manifestation Monday, Transformation Tuesday, Wealth Wednesday, Thought Thursday, and Friday's about dating, love, and relationships. We like that one, a little sexy time. And we talk about distinctions, consciousness. And Rob's a positive psychologist. Jeslyn's a brilliant journalist, reporter, entertainment reporter. And so we kind of all have our viewpoints and kind of, you know, gab about it. People like that part of it a lot. We have about 2 to 5 guests a day. It's actually a lot. Like, mm-hmm. we're all a little overwhelmed. We're like, can't keep up with it. But the buzz around it. We've had over 450 guests on the show. You've been on the show.
Yeah.
And it has like its own spirit with it. Yeah. It just has done its own thing.
It's mm-hmm. so fun. You guys, you have to watch. Like, yeah, you guys are great. And it's just, yeah, it's so just engaging. And it's like, I go back and watch your episodes and I learn from the different guests that you have on. And I do like, talk about that preparation. If you have 2 to 3 to 4 guests, so I mean, that's a lot of work researching and mm-hmm. coming up with questions mm-hmm. and interview material.
But this is the interesting thing, and I'm sure that you get this, is that you can layer the different areas of your life. For example, in the morning, I now have been trying to create the content for the beginning of the show that's on the same 11-minute podcast. It's the same topic. And then you can carry that into your social media for the day, whatever that topic, whatever that conversation is. And then if you really wanted to, which I'm not at this point in time, you could actually begin to create a book out of all that same content if you wanted to, you know, structure it. So there's ways of doing things that you can begin to layer upon, and it is, you know, it multiplies abundantly, as we mm-hmm, like to say in my industry. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What are some other things you've learned through the show? Because like you said, you didn't have an entertainment background and mm-hmm. you just decided, I'm going to create and host and start this show. And you have quite the production because you guys have numerous cameras. Like I said, you're live to Instagram, all those things. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that have you learned or challenges?
I think the greatest thing that I've learned is that no one knows what's going on with the industry right now. Because we've had huge producers come, you know, and we've been interviewing, asking them like what's going on, and everyone is completely shooken up in the television industry, in the movie industry, everything. No one mm-hmm. really knows where it's going. And so I think the thing that I have learned the most is staying true to whatever it is that your true mission is, and the rest will find its way.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the tips that you use to kind of, because I know I watched your last like post we were talking about just a couple days ago about sometimes you do just feel overwhelmed and it's like, oh, I had so much things going on and you're starting to. So what are your tips when you're starting to feel just overwhelmed in like aspects of your life?
I mean, this is an ongoing thing. It's not like one time you're like, I got it figured out. I'm no longer overwhelmed in my life. It's like a reoccurring kind of thing that comes up for people, especially in today's world and the social media. And we just have too much going on. Yeah. So for me, I got really clear of what those steps are because I have to remember. Like the only disease spiritually is amnesia, and I got it big time. So so what I do whenever I'm overwhelmed, which is quite often, is first, of course, getting into meditation, getting grounded, whether that be going for some walks on the beach or meditating or whatever it is that gets you grounded, getting into source. But then there's basically three steps that you go through, which is simplifying. So number one is basically getting rid of all the clutter, everything in your life, you know, cleansing the body, organizing your closets, getting rid of the junk food in your kitchen, everything it is to, like, clear it out. Clear out the paperwork. Clear out everything. Say no to everything for a week or whatever it is to give yourself some time to reset your life. Second is what's called going through cycles of action. And what you do is you look at all the projects you have. And you begin to decide which ones you're truly committed to and which ones need to be retired. Mm. It can be everything from, you know, even like the show, you got to go, am I 100% committed to this? You know, and if so, how am I going to see this through? Oh, let's see, there's something over here with, say, part of another website that it just, I'm probably not going to see this through. I need to complete it, shut it down, get it done 100%. There may be taxes in your life that you haven't dealt with. Deal with those, complete them, be done. Miscellaneous paperwork, whatever that is. There may be relationships that you're like, this relationship isn't really serving me, so I need to complete it. Love them and put some boundaries, whatever that is. So completing your cycles of action. And then number three, what is number three? I can't even remember what it is. It's going to have to come back to that one.
Yeah, we can come back at the end.
Wait, well, I'm going to have to look up my thing. That's hilarious. I'm confused and overwhelmed. Right, yeah.
I used to feel it all the time. And then, you know, as soon as we stop, it's going to come right to you.
Oh, my gosh. Completely. What is it?
It's okay. You can tweet it out to all or Instagram to all of us.
You're going to have to follow me on Instagram to get the third one.
That's all right, because I actually had the next question I was going to ask you. Now I just forgot it.
That's hilarious.
What about... what about asking for help? Like, in your growing your business, were there times when you were like, you know, I'm not good at this, or I need help with this? And like, delegating, has that been any part of the process?
I suck at that. I'm not going to lie. I'm a terrible solo entrepreneur, and I'm not anymore. But it's been my biggest, I would say, if there's one thing that I recommend for people is to get a team, get a tribe, collaborate more and more. And yes, I mean, you can take personality tests for sure and decide what your strengths and weaknesses are and team up with people. If you can't afford to hire somebody, take them on as a partner, somebody who is equally your counterintuitive part of you. For example, I'm an innovator. I'm a visionary. I'm a big picture type of person, whereas I don't like detail, like the number three. I can't remember that right because too many details. So I would take on maybe a partner that's really good at seeing things through, that's really organized and very detail oriented, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, we have to do that. And collaboration, as we know, I mean, spiritually, we're spirit desires for us to, we can't do things alone. It's impossible. So what you see is people who are highly successful, they have serious collaborations with big different brands and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Let's switch gears just a little bit, because at Tom Girl we also talk about fashion a bit. Ew. And I know that with having a show 5 days a week, it's got to be hard to come up with outfits each day. So what are some of your like fashion go-tos, or their brands you like?
I definitely have some tips on those. Number one is buy solid prints, not patterns. Because solid prints you can layer and people won't know if it's the same thing or not. Mm-hmm. Whereas prints, you can't hide a print. You know. Yeah. For sure that. I am an advocate of the secondhand designer consignment stores. Hmm. Primarily because I feel so guilty of just, you know, having more clothes made in the world. We have so many clothes. Like, imagine if girlfriends, if we just shared each other's closets.
Yeah.
Like, it's goofy. Mm-hmm. So I am an advocate of that. So I think if you're going to spend money, spend it on your jewelry. Spend it on the things, because you can make an okay outfit look fabulous with some good jewelry. Mm-hmm. Shoes, yes. I mean, you know, they get thrashed too. So you can't spend too much money on shoes because they get really, you go through them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas jewelry is going to last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you said, Mitch, earlier that you just got some new, like, chunky, like, I like statement pieces like that too. And I know we have a few pictures of you too, like your bracelets.
Yeah,
there,
I made all
like
those pieces.
You made those?
I did. I went to Bali. I had this is a few years back, and I was like, I just had this desire to have chunky, kind of spiritual looking jewelry. So I made all those, or I picked out all the stuff and had them made in Bali, and took them through the whole to the holy water and had them blessed by the high priestess there. And yeah, it was really fun. But we did have a gal on today, Desert Daisy Jewelry, and she has these huge chunky pieces. And I'm not a big crystal person. Like, I think crystals are amazing, but I'm not like one of those people that I'm like, oh, I have to have crystals, you know. But her pieces were incredible, so I'm kind of teaming up with her on some stuff also. Mm-hmm. I think it just depends on finding your unique thing. But you need to know also that if you want to stick out, if you want to be somebody that is remembered, you got to have a signature brand. Mm. You got to have something that's going to stand out. It's like a viral piece on YouTube. Like, what is going to be something that people are talking about that's memorable, that's going to have you do whatever? So get that, find what that is for you.
Mm. And how do you help people find that? Because I know you were helping me right before the show with some great tips already. Do you have tips for people trying to find their brand and their self?
Yeah, you know, I think branding's fascinating. I think it's a very spiritual thing, because what happens when you awaken, when you do your deep spiritual work, is you birth your truth. It's actually called maieutics. It's a Greek oracle process, and it's through like a Socrates method of asking all these questions and having the subconscious bubble up of what's really true for you. Because there's truth, there's ultimate truth, and there's relative truth, and we each have our own truth. And so when you bubble up and you birth that truth, your greatest product to produce is you. Mm-hmm. So who is JJ? What does she represent? And we want your brand and your clothing and everything to just wreak that essence of whatever that mission statement is. So I always think, you know, for me, it's live your truth. That's my kind of my mantra for my life. And so what does that look like? What does that look like for you? And I think it's branding is fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is just fabulous. Love it. I could talk to you all day. Well, let's jump real quick. We each a week here, we do a Tom Girl of the Week. So in the news this week, there's this great girl, Kaylee Foster. So she's from Mississippi. She, this evening, of this picture up here, she was just crowned homecoming queen. And then she went out and got her football uniform on, and she plays on the men's football team. And in their game that night, she had already kicked two field goals, but their game went into overtime, and she kicked the field goal to win the game. So she was homecoming queen and star of the game in the same night. So that's one thing that Tom Girl's all about, a girl that is just in this fancy dress, and then she shakes that off and goes and puts on the cleats and gets dirty. So she is our Tom Girl of the Week this week. Congratulations, Kaylee. Yeah, she's so cute.
I love that. That's awesome. Yeah. And I was thinking about Tom Girl, such a cool idea, but I do remember what three is.
Oh, yeah, let's go back.
Yeah!
Three, I knew it would come eventually.
It was coming. You got to let it go, and then it comes back.
Yep.
So the third one is know your products. Mm. So this is really important, because even just talking about this young, beautiful woman, young girl, she really knows what she's up to. She's claiming her life for sure. Mm-hmm. So in a spiritual sense, we're here to, of course, be present, spiritual beings, enjoy life, do things like that gal just did. But we're also here to direct and have a very specific thing that we're up to. We're here to develop our consciousness, to direct energy upon universal law and manifest in this lifetime. So knowing your products, knowing what it is that you're trying to produce in your personal life and your professional life. So when you're confused and you're overwhelmed, a lot of it's because you don't have clarity. And when you get clarity, it's clarity's power. And you get to like, okay, if I know I'm producing this, then I can look at all my other actions and I can go, well, is that going to produce that or not? Mm-hmm. And you pick the one thing that is the highest good for producing that.
And that probably helps a lot of people career-wise too. If you can ask the question, like, is this choice going to get me further me to what I'm looking for? I mean, I think it would make things easier when you're going to make decisions.
Yeah, for sure. Well, even like if you're building assets, like, are you building residual income? Are you building just a brand? What is your goal in your business? And oftentimes people, they don't even know. They're just working. They don't even know what they're trying to produce. What's the outcome they're trying to get?
Well, all your thoughts are fascinating. You did have a little special you were going to announce for the listeners here tonight.
Yeah. So I have 30 free guided meditations for everybody. You can just go to www.draerin.tv and you'll get 30 guided meditations there.
Mm-hmm. There you go, guys. Ooh, nice sound effect. That's awesome. What are other ways if people want to work with you or follow you, what are things that you have coming up?
Sure. So we do have a monthly event. Right now we've been doing it downtown. It's called Self-Love Lessons, which has been fun. We've been doing it at Roe downtown LA. So we're actually doing one there. I think it's October 2nd, the first Tuesday of October. And we're actually going to have the CEO of Boss Babe, who's a dear friend of mine, mm-hmm. Natalie Ellis. So we're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about spiritually what money means, how it's a projection and a reflection of her consciousness. And she's going to also talk about her journey to being able, she just launched and did a $650,000 launch on one of her programs. So, you know, these are women that are up to amazing things. So we can mix spirituality with business. So we're going to be doing that. They can also just reach out to me any of my social media, just drerin.tv. And I always respond to everything.
Okay. And for people that don't live in LA, what are some things, ways they can get involved with you or your teachings?
Yeah. We're going to launch an online spiritual meeting also. So they can get on my email list and they'll get informed of that. Hopefully I'm going to start that next month as well, because there's so many people that need, you know, I was thinking about 12-step meetings, so amazing, but not everybody's an addict, you know, but at the same time, it's great because they go, they pitch in a few bucks, they have a community, they have some spiritual distinctions. So I'm working on developing that so that it can be an international meeting for people daily.
I love it, because I definitely resonated with one thing you said about a lot of things you see with women who are professional and searching for things, is that there's a common thread of loneliness. Mm-hmm. And I think that does happen because you're working so hard and it's hard to find your group, your tribe, you know? So I love that you're creating this for women.
Well, especially when you're not dysfunctional. You know, if you drink alcohol, and there's nothing wrong with drinking some alcohol, but if you're constantly looking for entertainment that way, you know, when you start going away from just having it by default, your entertainment, you got to get a little proactive, and it's hard. You know, you do get lonely. I get lonely. Mm-hmm. As an entrepreneur, you get lonely. We all get lonely. We're isolated a lot. People don't have traditional jobs or working at a house. Mm-hmm. And so we have to become proactive. So what I recommend for people is, of course, you can reach out and get involved in my stuff, but start something yourself. You know, everyone's waiting for life to happen. It's not going to happen. No one's going to create the perfect event for you. You got to create your own group and your own tribe.
We'll leave it at that. That's just wrapped it all up. Fantastic advice. Well, I think you are truly wonderful and such a gift. So it's just been such a pleasure talking to you, and I appreciate
you taking
the
time. This is so
wonderful.
I love it here. It's so great. And I'm so excited to have some girl time with you.
Yeah, yes. We'll come back anytime. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening today. Next week, we have actress Lily Borden from The Nun, Scary The Nun movie. So we're getting ready for Halloween a little bit early. So we'll see you again here next week. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.